we go. Third and final hour. We thank you so much for tuning in. Jay Ross, Ken Rudolph, Damian Barlin. We got your 10K Day Code Word coming up at 2:20, 19 minutes from now. Your chance to win $1,000. Leicester City.
I'm rich.
Who had it?
I'm rich.
Are you kidding? A 5,000-to-1 long shot.
Wow. Finally wins at first English top division title.
Is it their lowest payroll? One of the lowest payrolls in the Premier League?
I only know about it because the guys that work in what's called the SAP booth at Good Day, they're all about soccer. So they were yelling at me this morning for not knowing about Leicester City. I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, they're 5,000-to-1 and they're going to win later on today.
That's insane.
Yeah, absolutely. He said it's the equivalent to the A's with the lowest payroll in baseball. Winning the World Series.
Don't get their hopes up again.
I say it's bigger than that, though, but they're trying to make it somewhat equivalent to what's happening here with Major League Baseball.
I'd say on a worldwide, I get a comparison. They're trying to make a comparison.
Yeah.
But on a worldwide basis where soccer is loved, that seems to blow it out the water. Hey, if you're walking around today and you see David Blatt, be sure to say hi.
Yeah.
He's in town?
Apparently he's in Sacramento interviewing today.
Awesome, I guess.
He's not the most personable guy, so approach with caution. But if you see him, if you see him in Kinko's in Natomas,
that's where they usually go. Yeah.
Or if you Chipotle, whatever it may be, just stop and say hi, welcome him to the city.
And, here's the thing about Coach Blatt: we don't really know a whole lot about him.
We don't,
right?
Because LeBron dominated his presence so much, we really don't know anything about him.
Man, it's such a
other than
what's that?
He rubs some people the wrong way.
Or LeBron, at least.
Well, I think he rubbed – I mentioned that one time he was given the game ball after his first win. And he was like, guys, I won 700 games in Europe. Almost like this is meaningless. This doesn't matter to me. That rubbed some people the wrong way. I know he said some things directly to the media where the media was like, dude, what?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? We're trying to do our jobs here. So I don't know. Maybe he – but he never really got a chance to – kind of break in the glove and get comfortable.
Yeah, he's kind of a hard one to evaluate. Like, I don't know what we would say if we polled everybody. Like, is he a good coach? I don't know that we have the answer.
I don't know. Right. Yeah. I really don't.
Like, I don't remember anything.
What was his specialty?
And they never, it isn't like they complained about, well, we don't like the offensive set, so we don't like the defensive, philosophy that he brought in. There was never anything concrete like that, that they, tagged and said, this is the reason why we decided to go in a different direction.
Yeah.
So we have no idea what his X's and O's are all about.
And how quickly it turned. I mean, they're up 2-1 in the finals with a shell of a team against one of the best teams we've seen.
Yeah.
And then they lose, and then he ultimately loses his job early in the next season. That's amazing.
Because only LeBron gets credit for what they were doing in the finals, but the coach should get credit too.
Yep.
If you see Patrick Ewing walking around, we don't know that he's here. But we know that he's interviewing. Patrick Ewing's name has been added to the list. Byron Scott said today on the Dan Patrick Show, now that he's out in Los Angeles, he'd like to interview for the Sacramento Kings head coaching position. Said he'd like to interview for the Houston Rockets position. And now as I'm saying that out loud, I think it's funny. He didn't mention New York.
Does he want to be with Phil?
Well, he's not familiar with the triangle because they didn't have that when he was there. So he probably, maybe he's not comfortable with that.
How are you telling a coach, well, this is the offense you have to come here and run.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
Don't you really limit your field when you do that? Like, why would David Blatt take that? Like, why would David Blatt come in and say, okay, I have to run your offense? Like, what's the point of me being a coach if I have to do what you're telling me to do?
Right.
It hasn't worked. It didn't work with Derek Fisher. Well, is it a fact Derek Fisher didn't know how to implement the offense, or what was it?
And one of the write-ups I read something about as far as Luke Walton going to L.A., one of the reasons maybe why, besides timing being perfect, the job being open, he feels like he might be ready, dream job, but Phil's in the final year in New York. Maybe he then comes back to Los Angeles to be kind of a front office role, but could be, and that's something Luke could accept, and it's like, oh my gosh.
Do you want that, though? Like, why, if you're the coach, if you're Luke Walton and you're there, would you want, again, it's the same problem in New York, do you want that shadow constantly looming over you?
It might be different for Luke Walton because he coached him, and maybe that's a different, like, no.
He coached Derek Fisher.
True. And Derek took the job.
Yes, and then Derek lost the job.
Yeah.
Right. See, I have zero problem with what Phil Jackson is doing because what he is doing and he's saying to everyone else out there is, this is the system. You need to come fit us. We don't fit you. this is what we're doing
but
in New
that's
York.
Not no that's his system.
He's in charge. Isn't the GM the person that lays out the game plan for the organization? He has decided this is what we're doing. I'm the GM.
I don't feel that way. I feel like the general manager should be the one in charge of bringing coaches and players and things like that. I don't think he should implement the on-court strategy.
Yeah, but that's got to be hard for a guy that's 111.
Right.
And especially coached Fisher on some of them, coached Walton on some of them, go, you know it worked. I know it worked. We did this together.
He's like, it worked everywhere he went.
Yes.
So he's like, that's
right.
What I'm going to do.
Everywhere he went. That just happened to include Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, and Pau Gasol. It just happened to work out.
Well, find those guys as GM.
Find the players, yeah.
Good luck with that.
He's got it. He's got Carmelo Anthony and Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah.
I love Porzingis.
And maybe he'll get it if he goes back to L.A. with all that money and TV contract going up.
Oh.
The Kings are going to interview Donald Trump for the coaching position. Fingers crossed.
He's going to win. He's going to win. It's going to be huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
He's going to win.
He's going to make Sacramento great again.
You're going to win so much, you're going to be tired of winning. You're going to be sick of it.
I'm guessing you've watched him a couple of times over the course of the last few months.
How can you miss him?
Yeah.
You can't. George Karl spoke to the Sacramento Bee over the weekend. Had some interesting remarks. We touched on a few of them. I never felt I got into a good place with Cuz. Some of that was my own stupidity when I said that no player is untradeable. Any reaction to that? Mm. Is he? I told you this, Jason. I think I texted this to you right after he said it. George Karl, that last game, that debacle against Houston, he did his normal pregame interview with G-Man, and I think I sent it. I was sent it to you right away. He just turned babyface, like he had played heel all year long. About you know he had kind of had this tough demeanor, and then on that last day, he flipped the switch and said all the right things and started talking about the future and Willie and Curry, and then he did the same thing with the statement he put out the next day when he was fired.
Right,
he's continuing that now, where he's. He's not burying anybody. When he could bury Vlade, and he didn't. He said he wasn't supported. I felt like he was just being honest. He could have buried DeMarcus. He didn't do that either. I think he just continued to speak honestly.
Yeah. He's a coach that's been fired, and if he wants to work again, you know, I don't know if it'll happen, but he's got to keep that door open.
But I like that he gave us the answers that we had been looking for. We all kind of speculated that this was the case.
Sure.
But it's really nice to be able to hear, okay, from his perspective, not saying it's the 100% truth, but from his perspective, this is how it went down, and we can all sit back and go, that's kind of what we thought. That's kind of what we thought went down.
And you know what would have been nice is if Vlade had mentioned some of this the day he fired George Karl in the press conference that we carried live on our radio station, and he said literally nothing.
So you would have rather, if he would have been like, look, I undermined the coach immediately when this happened. He did not have the authority he needed to really command that locker room, and that falls on the front office.
Sure.
Something like that.
Hey, look, we made mistakes. But he went with this whole, you know, George did a good job, but we had to move in another direction. Well, no, he didn't. Because if he had, you wouldn't have fired him. He didn't do a good job.
Maybe he did do a good job considering the circumstances,
right.
Considering that he was pretty much neutered out of the box. Maybe he did do a good
job. Then Vlade should have been the one who was fired. If George Karl did a good job with what he was given,
right?
The wrong person got fired.
Well, no, because Vlade's like, well, no, I brought those players in. I didn't bring the coach in. I brought those good players here. You see how they easily get it up?
It's easier. But it's still frustrating for the guy who's not with the organization anymore to still paint the organization in a fine light. Really didn't say anything negative about any of the characters in which he could have.
Especially the guy that his own record is better than this entire organization's ever been. In his years, he has more wins than the Sacramento Kings have wins collectively in 6 more years, I think, which is amazing. And I still go back to that day that he recites that he got undermined. Or it didn't have, you know, power was taken away. It happened. You can't undo it. How could they have fixed that? Was there ever a fix, or was it done? Like, was that the day it ended? You know, I think everybody kind of knew that was kind of the point, but there was a lot of season left. Could they have? I don't know what the fix was.
I mean, you know,
you couldn't undo it.
You couldn't undo it. Yeah, that's a tough
exactly.
one. That's a tough one. But you know what's going to be more frustrating, in my opinion, in 7 months from right now, when no matter who the Kings have hired as a coach, people are going to be saying, you shouldn't have let George Karl go.
I don't think that's going to happen.
You shouldn't have treated George Karl
that way. I don't think that's going to. Well, that may be said, and you could say that now. You could make that remark right now. You could say you shouldn't have treated George Karl that way, but he still needed to be let go so this organization can move forward. You don't have to separate the two, but I don't think anyone come November, December, January is going to be going, man, I really wish George Karl was still here.
Any coach that can come in and immediately take your team up to the number three scoring team in the league.
Just and by still snapping, wasn't winning games.
By snapping
and
his
still
fingers.
Wasn't winning games.
Because he lost the locker room, but he still was able to teach those guys how to score.
If you lose the locker room, you can't win games. You can score points, but if you're giving up more, if you're scoring 130, awesome. If you're giving up 133, then it's a problem.
True.
But losing the locker room is interesting. Was it on him or was it on Vlade, kind of like we suggested?
Or was it on number 15?
True.
The Raiders aren't going to pick up DJ Hayden's fifth-year option. Any shocker there? I didn't think so.
No, he's been struggling. It's a tough situation.
We'll come back with more of the lowdown on Sports 1140 KHDK.
And the Warriors, again, continue to show their strength in numbers without Stephen Curry as they led wire to wire in this one, winning 118-106 and take a one-game-to-nil lead in their best-of-seven series for the Portland Trail Blazers.
It wasn't even close. It never was. It was out of hand from the start. We got your 10K a day code word coming up in about 3.5 minutes. 20 past the hour, to be exact, your chance to win $1,000, your chance to enter into the grand prize drawing of $25,000. There was questions from our own Ken Rudolph.
Huh?
Would the Golden State Warriors be able to survive without Steph Curry? Clay had some thoughts on that after the game.
To be honest, I really don't. I just want to play as myself and to my strengths. Obviously, I don't have the handle and creativity of Steph, so I got to get it differently. I got to use my teammates. These guys hit great screens and get me open. I was in a great rhythm to start the game. And just not settle for good shots, but hunt great shots. And I really don't feel more pressure when Steph's out because we have so many great playmakers and guys who handle the ball and shoot that we just got to do it collectively because that's a lot of making up to do.
I should have led into that noting that the question was, do you feel extra pressure to score more when Steph Curry's gone?
It just happened.
He just does.
Yeah, what do you have, 20-something in the first? He was awesome.
Seen him score. I mean, we know he can score points, and he can score them quickly. Now he obviously has the green light to shoot when Steph is there, but sometimes the ball never makes it over to him.
I don't think they can win a championship without Steph, but I was thinking about this yesterday. I think they're a top five team without Steph Curry.
For an entire season?
Mm-hmm. They'd win 55 games, 55 games.
So that's a difference of 18?
That's a lot.
I mean, when you're talking about a record-setting number, if you're talking about
a
60-win team,
that's
suddenly
a Clipper team.
An 18-win difference, you're fighting for the playoffs in that window.
I mean, am I overselling it? I mean, I think they're about a top five team.
Well, no,
because
they have a great team. They have a great system, and all the players buy into the system.
Yeah.
Obviously, they have a good staff of assistant coaches as well. They have everything that you need to be a competitive team. But in order to win a championship, you do kind of need that one player that elevates you to that next level.
Here's Steve Kerr talking about life without Steph Curry.
I think it helped us to have to play most of the Houston series without Steph in terms of preparing for this one. I think we just got into a good groove, kind of games 4 and 5 against Houston, and that carried over tonight. Our guys have an understanding of what we're trying to accomplish, how we have to play without Steph.
They just sound confident.
That's true. They sure do. Mm-hmm.
And I think part of them knows, you never think this going into an athletic contest. You never think this going into a 7-game series. I'm sure they're comfortable playing Portland.
Yes.
Portland got them once this year. And they got them good.
Yeah.
I think they've bookmarked that game in their head like, okay, this is not happening again.
Yeah, and I think the time off, it's like you got to take something away. So, McCollum could do nothing. Mm-hmm. Lillard, by the end, got some numbers. But if those two aren't scoring, they have no chance. And yesterday, McCollum wasn't scoring, so that's why they got the huge lead.
I mean, Portland is doing the same thing that Toronto is doing. It's basically a guard. Your team, guard-oriented offense, if those two guards aren't scoring, you are in trouble.
Yeah.
And with Golden State, that's a whole team. Yeah. You can't beat them with two guards.
You talked about Toronto. They eliminated the Pacers yesterday, and then the talk today has been, Frank Vogel never signed a contract extension. I don't think a contract extension was ever offered to him. So the Pacers season is over. To the best I can understand it, Frank Vogel isn't the head coach today, and the Indiana Pacers have a coaching vacancy that they either need to fill by re-signing Frank Vogel to a new contract or start looking elsewhere.
Can I make a statement?
It's your radio. You do know this is your show, right?
No, what I mean by that is I'm going to make a statement that we're going to have to go back and look at in 5 days. They're going to decide on their coach in 5 days. Mm. By Friday, the Indiana Pacers will have filled their slot.
What you're saying is you don't like the Kings' plan of this long, drawn-out
search. Wasn't even related to them. This is not even related to them.
So you're saying it's either
That was a sub-remark. That was a sub-statement.
No, I feel like they have a solid assistant in Nate McMillan. Yeah. I would not be surprised if they tap him by Wednesday to take over if they don't offer Vogel an extension.
I agree. I think it's going to be one of those two. And it's interesting that McMillan said, I'm not going to interview until the playoffs are done. So now he's available, but was he available for his own team? Maybe he's going right back to Indiana if this Vogel thing doesn't work out.
But why would you let Frank Vogel go and keep Nate McMillan? And I don't mean that Nate McMillan isn't a capable coach, especially for that team. But if you're going to keep Nate McMillan, why would you let Frank Vogel go?
I don't know the internal part of that. I don't know if it's a money thing, but it could be one of those things like we said before about Dwayne Casey. If they lost, is he a good coach? Of course he is. But, well, we don't fire the players. We'll just change coaches. Vogel's been around. He's been good. And I think it's a good thing, but maybe they go, well, maybe it's just time.
Yeah, they may feel that it's kind of run its course.
Yeah.
They've taken it as far as they can with him at the helm. And a lot of organizations decide that. You want to find a way to get over the hump, and maybe they think a new coach can do that.
I have no way of knowing what's going on in the Sacramento Kings front office. But if I ever want to trust Vlade Divac, I want to know that he's on the phone with whoever Frank Vogel's agent is hours ago.
Yeah.
When that buzzer sounded. Hey,
is he still available?
Contract expired. Yeah. No extension? You want to fly to Sacramento? I'll send the plane.
Yeah.
Because that guy can coach. And, you know, you talk about maybe the same voice for too many years. That roster's gone through some changes.
Mm-hmm.
Roy Hibbert forgot how to play basketball in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the biggest stage he could possibly be in against LeBron James, he forgot how to play basketball. Paul George broke his leg in a practice.
Yeah.
In a nationally televised practice. But year after year, he's managed to get something from that team. He'd make a hell of a coach in Sacramento.
I agree.
I'm wondering, did Hibbert, did his skills diminish or did he flourish early on?
He forgot how to play basketball.
Because we're talking about dealing with a big man now.
Mm-hmm.
And so you come here, you got to deal with the Sacramento Kings and a big man that needs to be cultivated a little bit more. Can Vogel do that?
No, I don't think it has anything to do with Frank Vogel. That situation with Roy Hibbert, I can't equate it to anything I've ever seen before.
Because he went, this year with the Lakers, he was awful.
He was awful. But you know, the year before, he was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then the offseason came, and I vaguely remember him being okay at the start of the year, and then suddenly it was like, what the hell happened to this guy?
Yeah.
And then the playoffs came, and it was like, you almost can't even play him.
Right, and he wasn't playing summer. He had a scoreless game with the Pacers. Yeah, he was bad.
That's what it was, in that he had a scoreless game.
Yeah.
In which he played significant minutes.
That's a problem. I don't know about Vogel.
Putting that on Vogel. I'm not putting that on Frank Vogel at all.
All right.
That's because it's not like he flourished under someone else.
Mm-hmm.
No one's been coaching in Los Angeles for the past 2 years.
That's true.
I mean, there's been no coaching happening,
which is why
whatsoever.
It's a little shady that Byron Scott was fired. I mean, I'm not advocating that Byron Scott should have had, should keep the job for another year or 2 years. I'm just saying it would be like Philadelphia firing Brent Brown.
Mm-hmm.
They've done what they were told to do. We're going to sign Kobe Bryant the way he is for $30 million for the next 2 years. We'll figure out whatever we need to do after that. Okay, Kobe announces his retirement. Kobe has things that he wants done this year, and they have openly acknowledged, the front office, the most powerful people in that organization have openly acknowledged this season was about Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
So what was Byron Scott supposed to do as a head coach?
Yeah, not much. And how can they do that? How can the Lakers get away with basically tanking 2 years on purpose, yet that place at Staples is full every single night?
Did you miss the part about Kobe Bryant?
Yeah.
Did you miss that?
I think next year it could change.
It's like, it's not like Philadelphia, and that's right, that will be...
There'll be the test next
really
year.
Really interesting to watch because...
Unless they get that star in the offseason.
And, oh, have you heard Magic Johnson's plan?
What's that?
What's that?
He wants the Lakers. This is how he wants to fix the Lakers. Go get DeMar DeRozan,
okay,
Kevin Durant, and just call LeBron James' agent to see what he says. That's all. That's all you got to do to fix the Lakers.
Pretty simple.
And nothing to it.
And Luke Walton, okay, good luck.
But what about all the young talent
that
you
dumber,
have right now?
Is there a dumber, intelligent person than Magic Johnson?
What do you say? How are you going to be dumber intelligent?
I just feel like Magic sometimes says the stupidest things.
Yes, he does.
Especially when it comes to the Lakers.
Yeah,
but he's obviously extremely intelligent and his business acumen is untouchable. But he talks sometimes and it's like, dude, what? That's all you got to do to fix the Lakers, huh?
That's it. That easy,
go get
huh?
Go get the three top free agents. Yes.
Maybe he's operating with some of that New York Yankees arrogance, where you're like, okay, we know what we want. Just go get it.
It's working.
Just go get it.
It's working for the Dodgers, yes, right? The Dodgers are over. You know, they're shilling out money like the New York Yankees would.
They're not going to win the World Series.
Oh, they're not good.
Right.
But I mean, the Yankees do it. They're not good either.
It's worked for the Yankees though. It's worked in the past for them.
I don't know. I keep thinking about Jerry West and the gift that he gave the Los Angeles Lakers in the Pau Gasol trade and how that changed their franchise. And then I think about the Chris Paul trade that got squashed and how that changed a ton.
Yeah, you're right.
Ton of franchises. If you're the Lakers, I don't know where you go from here. But you got your coach who has all of 43 games experience.
They were 39-4, I do believe, with him.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I know he says it's his dream job. I just wonder if he's ready. And if it's, I mean, this is as hot as he can possibly be. If he goes to the Lakers and they fail for 2 or 3 years and he's out, it's like, is everybody calling for Luke Walton anymore?
You think they're going to get rid of him after 2 bad seasons?
I don't know. But, you know, it's just like, but are they going to be successful right away? I doubt it. There's some losing coming their way.
Yeah.
Even if he can coach.
Oscar in Stockton, we see you. We'll get to you in just a minute. If you want to get through on the phone lines, now would be a great time to do it. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. This hour's code word is LISTEN. Text LISTEN to 80787 or enter online at khtk.com. By the end of the hour, message and data rates may apply. We'll text you back to confirm your entry, and one randomly selected nationwide entrant will win $1,000. All entries will also automatically qualify for a $25,000 grand prize. Your phone calls next on The Lowdown. Join Sports 1140 for Susan G. Komen's Sacramento 20th Annual Race for the Cure this Saturday, May 7th at Cal Expo. Help us move one step closer to a world without breast cancer. Register now at KomenSacramento.org.
Have I ever told you guys about the time I had an argument with Pete Rose?
No.
Nope.
I had an argument with Pete Rose.
Okay, thank you. You want to elaborate?
So I was on a show on Fox called Best Damn Sports Show, period, for quite a few years. And we have the green room. And so when everyone comes in, we're all hanging out in the green room together. Pete Rose comes in the green room. It's Pete Rose. So we're all just kind of hanging out. He starts talking baseball. Starts talking about Cal Ripken, how he should have been playing third base and not shortstop. And me and my ignorant self, I'm like, what are you talking about? Cal Ripken's one of the best shortstops in the history of the game. And he's like, no, we should have been playing third base. He's too big to be over there playing shortstop. He couldn't really get around. He just happened to get lucky. Third base is where he should have been with the power. I'm like, but he's Cal Ripken. He's the greatest player. And then I stop myself. And I look and I'm like, I'm sorry. And I say, and I won't use the terminology that I use, I'm like, you're the greatest bleeper to ever swing a baseball bat. And I'm talking to you like this. I'm sorry. And he's like, no, I love it. Keep going. I like talking baseball. I don't care who it is. And it was a great day.
That's cool.
It was awesome. But I stopped myself because I'm yelling at Pete Rose.
Yeah, it's good for him.
Pete Rose. Yeah, Pete Rose needs to be yelled at every once in a
while. About baseball? No. You do not yell at Pete Rose about baseball.
You probably shouldn't yell at Pete Rose about anything.
No.
He doesn't strike me as the most.
He was great. He was awesome.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Oscar, we appreciate you hanging on through the break. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing okay. A little bit upset, man. I understand about this coaching and stuff that's going on, but I've been around for a while. I'm 49 years old. And one thing I have seen is a decline in Black American coaches. And this is one thing I don't understand. All these coaches are putting in all the work, and here we are hiring all the young different races over these coaches that got knowledge of basketball, and we don't even give them a chance to be a head coach. I don't understand. We can be assistant coaches and do all the recruiting and bring the players in, but we can't lead the team. That's on every level. I see it in high school. I see it in junior college. I see it in major college ball. You can even go down to NAIA ball. And I don't really understand the simple fact that I don't understand why you can't give a Black American a chance, even though he didn't put the time and the work in. We don't give him a chance, but they can be a top assistant. Sam Cassell has been an assistant coach for a long time. Sam Cassell is a guy that I know that can reach a lot of these youngsters out here. And I don't understand why he's not getting an interview for the Kings head coaching job. All the people I'm hearing about is Mikhail, Del Negro, and all the rest of these guys. Now we're talking about Vogel. Vogel, he's going to get fired because he can't lead nobody over to the water. And that's the problem. Nate McMillan probably is going to step in. And that's one of the better coaches that we should be trying to interview and hire. Now we're talking about Patrick Ewing. He should get a chance to be a head coach in this league. But we don't give none of the Black American coaches any kind of pub to get a head coaching job. And this is where I got a real problem with this. It's on every level it's like that. And because I've been coaching for a long time, but it's on the buddy-buddy system. The buddy-buddy system only works in the Army. It doesn't work in sports like that. Even though Luke Walton got the head coaching job, he's not ready for that job. The only reason he got a good look because he's with the Warriors. They got a good team. And this is why I have a problem with this. We can build a team, but we can't lead the team. That's what's wrong with America right now in this society right now. And that's the only thing I have to say about that today.
Oscar, we appreciate it. I wouldn't even quantify that as saying that's the only thing you had to say. You said quite a bit there. It's something we touched on earlier.
We touched on that earlier. We said six.
Six.
Six of the 30.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, well, I understand his frustration completely. Trust me, I do. But you just have – it's one of those things where certain situations you have to kind of – like, I don't know about Mark Jackson's situation. We've heard about some things that he may or may not have said.
We know about Mark Jackson's situation. We just choose not to talk about it.
And if you, in fact, have said those things, it doesn't matter what race you are, you're probably not going to get a job as a coach.
What about Elston? That's when he was talking about that and running through, that was the, because he was talking about young coaches getting, not getting a chance. And I thought, well, you know, Jason Kidd got kind of a weird opportunity. He retired one day, and the next day he's being named the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. And similar situation with Derek Fisher, and I thought, well, young guys are getting a chance, but then you count it up and you're at six, and then you realize Elston has been in the league for freaking ever,
right,
on very successful Sacramento teams, Houston teams. Was he with Portland? Was he with Rick Adelman in Portland? He's been on successful teams.
Right.
Why hasn't he gotten the nod?
That's a great question. I don't know how he does in interviews. Are the interviews not going well? Is he, is he getting credit for being on those other staffs and not having his own plan? I don't know that, but I what I do know of him, of Elston, he's a bright guy, smart guy, likable guy. Mm-hmm. I hope he gets that chance.
Well, here's the thing. And I think it's kind of what Oscar is alluding to, and anyone you ask this question to will kind of tell you the same thing. You hire who you are comfortable with,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And in order for – sometimes when you're talking about race, sometimes – people are just not that comfortable. Think about all the owners, okay? Are there any Black owners in the league? We have how many?
Jordan.
One, right? So then we're going to put all the pressure on Jordan. He's got to hire a Black coach. Okay, that's not fair to him. Now, he can't make a decision based on who's the best person out there.
And it's also ridiculous.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's what's going to end up happening. They're going to start looking to Michael Jordan and say, wait a minute, you're an owner. You have the power to do whatever you want. Why don't you hire a Black coach?
And we all know Jordan doesn't fall for that crap.
He doesn't.
He never has.
But you in that position, you can't fall for that. You still have to decide, okay, who's going to be the best individual for my team? It's always going to be difficult. It's always going to be tough sledding.
Doc Rivers said today he won't trade Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, or DeAndre Jordan. They're going to stick together another year. At least another year. And he believes they'll all opt out, at least the ones who are available. I don't think DeAndre Jordan is. I think Chris Paul and Blake Griffin can opt out next year. He expects them to do that.
I mean, I think that's the smart play. At least that's the smart thought going in, because they still are a really good team when everybody's healthy. They could use, I think they would have beat Portland, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so then you're into the second round, which isn't the end-all, be-all. And if you get two shots at the Warriors without Steph, I don't know. I think that would have been really interesting. I actually thought they would have beaten them or could have beaten them. So to change all of that, to get, I don't know how you get better by moving those pieces away unless you really find some great deal. So I would go to bat back with those guys.
And those guys still have plenty of miles left on them, I think.
Yeah.
Another one, Dirk's going to opt out. I think we do that all along. I honestly think he's at the point in his career with Dallas. He's obviously not going anywhere. He's going to restructure his deal at the very last second to give Dallas the best opportunity to get as many free agents and in many pieces around him to help him have a successful year.
Yeah. Maybe
two.
He's already gone on record saying he does not want to be part of a rebuilding.
Yeah.
He's already said that. He's like, I'll stay here. Yeah. But I'm not going to be around for
and
that.
And I don't think they're at that point yet where they're far enough down to, you know, they're still.
Great coach.
Yeah, and that's it right there. It comes back to coaching. Three stories you may not be paying attention to, but you should. It's called And One, and I got a good one for you guys coming up next. This is Jay Ross's favorite instrumental.
It is.
Hands down, he starts moving every time it comes.
Oh man, I fell in love with this song. Man,
really? With who?
Oh man, she worked at the she worked at the merry-go-round at Sunrise Mall. Michelle, I still love you, girl.
Never let it go.
I'm coming about them Z Cavaricci's. I'm coming back to get those Z Cavaricci's I got on layaway.
Please don't. Yeah, please do, and wear them tomorrow. That's Ken Rudolph, Jason Ross, Damian Barling. This is the Lowdown as we wrap things up here in this third and final hour. Oh, we lost Dave. Well, we wanted to get to him. He had some thoughts on the conversation about black coaches, and everyone has an opinion when it comes to race. It was actually just it just came about as we were having a conversation and talking about coaching candidates and jobs available, and I just started to realize and going through numbers in my head, and Ken went through all of the coaches, and we found a very low number of black coaches in the NBA, which you hear about it in the NFL all the time.
Yeah,
it comes up every hiring season that there aren't very many black coaches in the NFL.
Right.
But the NBA, it's a little more surprising.
You know, and the thing about that is if you go to the NFL, it had been a problem for a long time. And then, obviously, thank goodness, the late, great Bill Walsh and some other coaches decided, hey, you know what? I've got a lot of great African-American assistants on my staff. How come you never look at them?
Mm-hmm.
And then the Rooney Rule.
Mm-hmm.
Was instituted, but here's the thing, and with all due respect to the caller that was waiting on the line, I think, and please help me out, guys, if I'm not getting this correctly, I think they were saying that as far as the race thing is concerned, find the best coach, the best person for the position.
And there's no question about that.
Yeah, but you can't say that. So anyone who says that to me is not even remotely aware of what happens in this country and what has been happening in this country for 400 years.
Well, saying what you should do. And what you actually do are very different.
That's insulting to every person out there that has been denied, whether they are a minority or whether they're a female, that, you just find the best person for the job. That's not how it works, man.
Well, we talked about Elston Turner, and that's always a name that comes to my mind. Patrick Ewing's another one.
Yeah.
Patrick Ewing has been a very good assistant for a while.
Right.
What is it, the way that he's interviewing? Is it the stigma of a big man just coaches big men and doesn't coach a whole team?
And that's probably unfair, right?
Well, it seems kind of silly.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Is Phil considered a big man? Because Phil Jackson's pretty damn big.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's a center, but he's a pretty big guy.
Right. Or if you have a point guard, he's just going to help the guard. I mean, no. I think you're coaching the team. You're coaching personalities. You're organizing your team's overall game plan.
Maybe they're worried about a dry cleaning bill. Because Patrick Ewing sweats a lot.
Yeah,
he does sweat. If you see David Blatt around town, be sure to say hi. Mark Stein of ESPN reports David Blatt's here.
Yeah.
In Sacramento. Hey, if you're listening, David, call us.
That's right.
We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know how the interview went.
Exactly. Yeah.
How did things go? Did you pitch? Did you exactly. Did you pitch to Vlade or did Vlade pitch to you?
Yeah.
And I think that's a big question with all of these names on this list is who exactly is pitching what to who?
Right.
Like, I often wonder, do they throw any, like, we know about the Wunderlich test, which we actually took a version of this on Good Day, getting ready for the draft. We kind of wanted to see what kind of questions are on there, and they gave us a sample test.
How'd you do?
I think I got, like, the base score that you would need to be eligible to be drafted, that kind of thing. And it was interesting. But there, I wonder if in
well,
this,
what type of questions are asked in those? Oh,
man. There are a lot of there are some word problems in there, things where you have to actually write on paper, figure out some mathematical equations, that type of thing. There are multiple choice type questions where it's kind of a tricky question where you need to know which one to eliminate, and it's all timed, so that's where it gets tricky. It's a timed test. But aside from that, I'm wondering if you're when you're interviewing a coach, do you throw in some questions that are a bit off? Just to get a feel for
this. Are you a cat or a dog?
Or
we've heard those questions. Yeah.
Right. Who's your all-time favorite? Because music is a huge part of a locker room, right? Who's your all-time favorite music artist? What do you use to get pumped up? Things like that. I wonder if they ask
just
those
to read
kind of
more
questions.
About character or something?
Yeah,
or
just to read
person?
More. Just about the person.
Yeah.
Three stories you may not be paying attention to, but you should. Jason Ross, lead off and one.
All right. Well, we've talked about it a little bit, but I want to at least expand on it because the announcement came today from the Golden One Center that they're going to have their first act. It's Paul McCartney. It's a fantastic.
Who?
Yeah, Paul McCartney.
Oh, the guy who played keyboards for Kanye West. Okay,
yes,
yeah.
That guy.
All right.
But for years, let's backtrack 3 years ago. It's the thought is if Sacramento, they stay, and if they get a downtown arena, this is the kind of thing that will revitalize the arena, the area and bring in bigger and better shows. This is the exact case in point. Paul
Absolutely.
McCartney, I mean, a living member of the Beatles is performing in Sacramento. He closed down Candlestick. He's opening Golden One Center. That's a big deal.
The
good
Candlestick story is pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool story.
So I just think that's good for Sacramento. We got a little mini win today.
Because I think
more
they
than a
also
win.
Kind of opened up Candlestick because they played
right.
in the 60s.
Yeah. Right. That was
right?
That's
that
why
was
the story
the
is cool.
Yeah. Where he opened it, closed it.
Yeah.
Right. Now open
Golden. And tickets go on sale Friday, by the way. I saw that.
Unless you are an American Express cardholder, you'll get a jump on everyone else. You can get them tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yes, sir.
Huh.
Don't leave home without it.
Might there be all go. Over that. Ken Rudolph, what do you got for us today?
A couple of things. Number one, just a heads up. This is Kentucky Derby week. So coming up later on this week, I will start to whittle down and find you the winner for Saturday's big race. But first,
that's the whole reason you're here. You realize that, right?
Yes, sir.
This week.
Yes, yeah. sir. I'm aware.
It's Ken's
okay.
week.
Yes, sir. I am
yeah.
aware.
This is it. We are all about to get paid
get
because
re-atch.
Of you.
We're going to get re-atch.
That's it.
But I did want to thank you, sir. But I did want to shift and give some love to a local athlete, young Matthew. Want to give some love to a young athlete.
Yeah, Matt got a little excited there.
Yeah, he did.
Who I think made the right decision by staying an extra year in college. And he did not end up where he wanted to as far as the draft number is concerned. But Grant High School graduate Devontae Booker.
Yeah.
They talked about him last year coming out and he would have been drafted. He's like, nope, I want to stay another year in school. I want to get better and get smarter. Stayed another year in Utah. Had a great year. And he was picked in the fourth round, number 136, selected by the Denver Broncos. Congratulations to Devontae Booker.
Absolutely.
Keep that Grant High School lineage from high school to college to the pros going, young man, and
Very
good luck.
Cool.
And undoubtedly the biggest story of the day, we say you may not be paying attention to, but you should, and everybody is paying attention to this story.
Is it the biggest one of the day?
Easily.
Okay.
It's The Rock's birthday.
What?
Oh, my goodness.
Wait a minute, what?
It is The Rock's birthday.
Dwayne
Johnson, the people's champ.
Wear our party hats.
It's his birthday. He's celebrated by releasing a new Rock Clock app that you can download on your phone. He'll send you little inspirational messages to get you out of bed in the morning.
Like what?
You've got
it. I haven't gotten a chance to play around with it yet.
Right.
I will. I downloaded it. But, I mean, that's easily the biggest story of the day.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Hands down.
Oh, yeah, that trumps Paul McCartney coming to Golden One Center.
Way bigger than Paul McCartney coming to the Golden One Center.
He should have opened it up.
The Rock?
Yeah.
I think so. He should have just gone out there, you know, done his cut a promo, left.
Yeah. That's enough.
The Cavs play for the first time in about a month and a half tonight. Do you think that? I don't even want to say.
A month and a half.
I don't even want to say, do you think they'll win?
Yes.
Do you think it ends in four?
No. I'll give the Hawks a game or two. But Cavs win.
Cavs win tonight?
I don't know.
How many games do you see this going?
I see it going six.
Six, really? You got Atlanta taking two?
I have Atlanta taking game one.
Ooh, really?
Tonight. Started off nice. That would be fun.
LeBron has lost game one a number of times, and it's never really meant anything.
Right.
That would be fun to see Atlanta get this one tonight. I don't see it happen. I think five games at the
Just
most.
Just to start the panic, Tyronn Lue fired.
Right, exactly.
There you go.
That's Jason Ross. Ken Rudolph. My name is Damian Barling. We thank you so much for tuning in. The Grant Napier Show is coming up next.